Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. That was a public service announcement from NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. We thank them for letting us use their commercial. Anyway, today is August 25th, 2021. You are listening to Face Us Radio on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio, The Inside Scoop. My name is Luann Fleming, and as usual, I am with my other co-hosts tonight. I will start them off one at a time. Robin Austin, introduce yourself to all of our listeners, please.
Welcome to the show, everyone. So glad that you could be here and so glad that I could as well.
Right. And we also have Hillary. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And we are grateful for our listeners. And we try our best to advise everyone who's listening about what is happening concerning probate, guardianship, corruption, and the good people who are here to help, and the not so good, but, you know, it's a struggle, but I do believe confidently that we are really breaking down buildings filled with corrupt guardians, attorneys, and judges. So another great show is to be had, and thank you, Luann and Robin, for always including me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Hillary. And, of course, we have Marcy Freeman, and she's got some really good news. I mean, she's been one of our co-hosts as well as Hillary and Robin, and she's been having a really hard time seeing her mom, but the court has granted her permission with a pro bono attorney to go ahead and have Marcy have visitations. Now, they are paid to have one lady supervise them, but at least she finally gets to see her mom, and her mom, I heard, is very well taken care of. Marcy, say hello to everyone.
Yes, well, hello, everyone, and welcome. And having this voice is not only helping me to heal with you guys, but to get it out there and tell of our experiences. And I would say never, never give up, because persistence and resilience, the truth always comes out. My mother, I was able to see her after chipping. I feel like I have been chipping this wall that I finally got. I'm getting through. And thank God she was so lucid past 2 days, asking why it took me so long to see her. And it was a blessing in the sky, and I do believe that Jesus, the God, does exist because he answered my prayers. But to all the victims out there, I tell you that my mother has done a 1,000% turnaround since the hospital granted her a safe discharge, and this nursing home, it's clean. My mother is so well taken care of. Her skin looks great and supple.
She looks beautiful. She looks beautiful.
And I learned
she looks
and happy.
She looks great.
Hello? And the
Go ahead.
The name of the facility is called Orchid Cove. So far, good. The visitations are restricted only for 30 minutes a day due to the COVID, and they need to be outside, which I'm okay with that, being outside. And, of course, the number one thing is safety for my mother and everyone else. But I can tell you, my mother's hair was nicely done. She was super clean and healthy and happy. She said, I'm happy. I'm around people. I'm not being left alone anymore. And
wow.
She was able to express her feelings without being interrupted and without being manipulated and without being told what to say. I heard my mother's wishes. And so it was a good thing that I had a supervisor, because she got to hear it all. And so, and this is a person who's qualified. So, and she has a interest for my mother at heart. So it was very, very good. And I sincerely thank all of the listeners and the faithful for all your prayers and support, because no one should ever have to be held hostage at the end of their life, or I don't care what age. This is the United States of America, where we have a Constitution of the United States, and we, the people, have rights. And, you know, this one judge, he gave me my right to see my mother. So
right.
I have to take one win at a time. So I am grateful. I'm happy. And you can see it by the picture. We wore our masks. We wore the shield. And Mama was safe and happy.
That's awesome.
And she said,
that's beautiful.
I want to be with you. So cute.
That's,
she just pulled her,
that's beautiful.
Her heart smiled. Yes. It was a beautiful, beautiful testimony. And never give up. Never. Never give up. And I'm never going to give up. And I'm going to advocate for the rest of my life, because humanity does not deserve this. And none of us deserve to be isolated from our God-given children. And so I am her strong voice, and I'm making sure she gets justice. Because
there you go. That's awesome. That's really good news, Marcy.
Yep.
I'm just so glad everybody could reach out with you and they could get you through this, because I know you've had some really, really tough experiences. You've been to court numerous times. You've done everything you could to be with your mom and to see your mom, and now you could actually go up and see her, so I'm really glad for that. Even though you've got to pay for it, so it's still worth it. So
we
saw the beautiful pictures. She looks amazing, by the way. I just saw her. I couldn't believe it, how happy she looked with you. You both look great.
She's well taken care of the way that she deserves now.
Right.
Not isolated inside a garage where she cannot see anybody and not getting the care and love that she needs. So, you know.
We are the eyes and the ears of our elders. So, you know, if you see anybody being abused or someone that's being isolated, please let organizations know what's going on. In fact, we've got some really... a really great guest coming on, Marcy and Hillary and Robin.
Yes.
We've been talking about the National Organization for Women for quite a while with Elliot Bernstein. So we actually have our guest tonight is actually Sheila Newman Jaffe. I think that's how you pronounce her name. And she's a membership board member for the Palm Beach County NOW, National Organization for Women, pbcnow.org, and actually Sheila became an advocate for women's rights on August 26, 1970. PBC Now has been doing court watches since 1990 for sexual assaults and domestic violence. In 2003, she says they incorporated a new profit, a nonprofit called FACTS, F-A-C-T-S, Families Against Court Travesties. And you can find that at factscourtwatch.org. And she says that they are now doing court watches in guardianship cases, and they did one in the courts of Judge Martin Cullen, or Cohen, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, who enriched his wife, who was a highly paid guardian. And they were charged, but they were not convicted. And she can come on and talk a little bit about that later. She says the judge retired receiving a taxpayer-paid pension. Sheila is a member of the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and other groups working for civil rights and justice. And from what I heard, she's been an advocate or an activist for over 50 years or something like that. And I'm like, wow, that is absolutely amazing. So we are going to bring out a guest right now. Her name is Sheila. Sheila.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Sheila.
So, hi. Yeah, I know Marcy.
Welcome.
Yeah. I wanted to start off, and I know it's going to be really busy tonight. We've got four of us advocates on here. Most of you are from Florida, the advocates that we have. So, you know, if any of us talk over each other, I will call it your names just to keep it, because we all these shows are archived, so we want to keep the links as clean as possible. And we will be taking in some listeners in about 45 minutes. And to do that, you call this number, 845-241-9962, 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that will get you into the radio show. And this will be live. You will be recorded, and it will be archived as well. So I wanted to let you know that. Anyway, so we're really glad our guest is joining us. So you said that you have been active in the women's rights for over 50 years. Can you start off?
Yes, tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 51st anniversary. I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
I know. I was living in Philadelphia at the time, and they had this women's strike for equality, and it was the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the 19th Amendment for women's suffrage. And women were encouraged all over the country to strike and not to go into work and to see how valuable our employment was. And I went to Rittenhouse Square in Philadelphia, and I had been working at a hospital in Philadelphia at the time, took off the day, and it was so motivating that it kind of got me moving. And I remember there was a man at the protest, just happened to be there, or wasn't supporting us, and he said, "What are you doing here? You should be home in the kitchen." You know, that's from then. I know. So that's kind of what, I've been very involved in, you know, why it's important that women's vote can change our lives and change the world. And I really got active. That was in Philadelphia. I moved to Florida with my husband and my family, and we opened a business here. And I was looking for an organization that was really going to motivate me, and I really couldn't find one until I started printing the newsletter for the Palm Beach County National Organization for Women, and it struck a note. You know, I knew that this is an organization and I could have friends and supporters, and we can make a difference. We can get things done. So we've done a lot of important things, but what I really wanted to talk about was the things that we have in common with them guardianship abuses. Because the same things that are happening with children losing contact with their older parents is happening for young parents, mostly mothers, losing their young children to the family court system and dependency courts. And our chapter started doing what we called it Court Watch in the 1990s. The phone that we got from Now Calls used to come get forwarded to my home number. And first we got a call about a young woman who was murdered by her ex-husband, and she went to school with my daughter at Spanish River High School. And so we went to the Court Watch, and we decided we would all wear white shirts, and we made like a badge that said Court Watch. So the judge and everybody there knew somebody, a group was watching. And I really think we made a difference because they know that they were eyes and ears of the community, and they knew the status of Palm Beach County now that that we have power, we have numbers. Right now, our chapter has over 1,000 members in Palm Beach County. Then it was a little bit smaller. We also did court watch for a young girl in my neighborhood who was out jogging one night and got raped, and we went to her court watch. But then in about 2000, we started getting calls about mothers who were losing custody of their children for no reason at all. And many of them had been victims of domestic abuse by the father. So we started doing court watches for these families. And in 2003, we decided we should incorporate. Before, we were doing it under Palm Beach County now. But we created an organization, and we called it FACTS. Families Against Court Travesties, and primarily involved with mothers losing, good mothers, protective mothers, losing custody of their children because if there was sexual abuse of children or of the woman, or if there was domestic violence, the judges didn't want to hear about it. And they had this, like, impression that we were making it up just to get the children. And so they would, and it seems, you know, unbelievable, but in 70% of the cases, they would take the children and give sole custody to the abuser. And we just couldn't believe it was happening until we found out it's going on in other cities and other states around the country. So anyway, we started this corporation, and we continue doing this, and National now created a group called the Family Crisis in Family Courts, and National now is composed of about 500 chapters around the country, and actually Palm Beach County chapter is one of the largest, but now was started in 1966 by Betty Friedan and Gloria Steinem, and actually Betty Friedan was a victim of domestic violence herself. But we found out that this is going all over. It's almost like a cottage industry, and it's the same with guardianship. There's all these support workers, the guardian ad litem, the parental coordinators, the lawyers that are friendly with the judges. It just keeps the money flowing, and I think it has a lot to do with money. So we have been doing this, like I said, since 2003. And actually, the first court watch that I ever did was when I was in high school. I was in the Honor Society, and our teacher brought our class to a courtroom in Philadelphia and it was a rape case. And you know, a lot of people feel like, well, I can't go to a court, you know. It's like it's not open to the public, but it is. It's our courthouse. We pay for it. We have every right to be there. As a matter of fact, we had a case in Broward County where the judge didn't want to leave us in, and we contacted the Sun Sentinel, and they got the First Amendment Society involved, and the judge had to leave us in because,
oh, good.
Sometimes.
Oh, that's great.
If nobody's watching, sometimes their behavior is abominable. And I'm saying, you know, not all judges, just some.
Right.
But all you need is is one bad one. It can destroy lives. You know,
You know what I was thinking of? And thank you first and foremost for all that you do, because being an advocate or activist, I consider myself an activist. You know, I do things to make changes. But what in guardianship, it's so crazy that, you know, there was a hearing yesterday for visitation. It was a guardianship case. We were allowed in Manatee County. Next day, there can be a guardianship hearing in Pinellas County, and the ward could be deceased. could be dead and the judge will not let us in. I mean, that is, and again, as Robin says every week, justice requires transparency. And in these courtrooms, a majority of the time, they are not transparent. And yes, I agree wholeheartedly. It is a cottage industry with the American public, you know, supporting all of these not so nice people. But again, thank you for devoting your life to helping people. Some I'm sure you've never met in person, so it's really appreciated.
Well, yes,
we also
absolutely.
I was going to say that sometimes these cases can be lethal. In the end of May, there was this is a horrible case. Grayson Kessler, 4 years old, was murdered by his father, and the father killed himself. This was in Fort Lauderdale. He had been an abusive father, and the mother was denied a protection order from the Broward County Courts from Judge Michael Goldman. And by the time she wanted a protection, the child picked up because she had reason to believe that he was in danger. And over the weekend, they made all kinds of delays, and when they finally got to the father's apartment, the child and the father had been dead for 3 days. It's just heartbreaking.
Tragic.
And these things happen more than you would imagine.
Right.
We also did guardianship cases, too, and we were involved with Judge Michael Martin Poland, and he had issues with his children, and there was a lot of coverage in the Palm Beach Post, and you know something, he got away with it. He retired and took his pension, and we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's it usually is, and I'm sure in child custody situation as well. And honestly, I would love, and Marcy, thank you so much for introducing us to this phenomenal. But I'd love to, get together and get our group, which isn't as big, obviously, as yours, and your group to be with us. I mean, one thing I'll say that was basically the only good thing about COVID was Zoom. You know, to be able to attend a hearing, you know, hours and hours away in another state. And also, besides that, we were able to see the attorney's face, you know, when they're talking their trash to their friend who's the lawyer on the case that they more than likely worked together before the judge became a judge and all that. So Zoom has been great, and I really, really hope it doesn't end soon. There is a case, though. The sentencing should be coming up soon, and maybe we can touch bases. In Palm Beach County, it's a for-profit guardian who is awaiting sentencing in, I think, 6 guardianship cases for exploitation of the elderly, theft, perjury, and what have you. And I am available 5 days a week to be on any hearing. I would love to get involved with your group. And thank you so much for letting me go in.
Yeah, and I do think that Marcy was also, weren't you, Marcy, out there with them demonstrating at one time? You were actually interviewing them?
Yes,
and I fell in love with all of them, and my heart was shaken by the sadness of these young women who showed me pictures of abuse, and they're not allowed to see their children and how their children will go in to their abuser. I mean, I told Sheila, I'm on. I mean, let me know when you want me again, because you know, we'll be glad to continue doing this documentary to get it out there. And I share it all the time. It is unbelievable the women that that have been abused. And again, it goes hand in hand with the guardianship with the elderly. It's really targeting the vulnerable. Children are vulnerable, and so are the adults. and it really is a crime. And how do you tackle crime? By telling the story, educating people, getting it out there. So I am on board anytime you want it. And Hillary, I think that maybe you should come down sometime and we can all get together and brainstorm to see how we can contribute to their cause as well.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing that we have done that has been successful. NAL has a PAC, a Political Action Committee, and we interview candidates and we interview and endorse judges. Most people on the ballot haven't a clue who the judges are. They just sometimes will just pick a name that they like. So we actually started another corporation called Win Now, Women's Issues Now, which is a political organization. And we do the interviews and we endorse the judges. And we mail our endorsements to our 1,000 members, and we ask them to share that information, their friends and their family, and to vote how important their vote is. And so that's one step that we do. The other thing that we're doing now is we have a bill that we're trying to get through the Florida legislature, and we spoke to one of Representative in Broward the other day, and Senator Lori Berman was supporting it to sponsor it. And it's to require that in all family court cases that it be recorded. And because if all they have to do is switch it on and it gets recorded. Because a lot of people don't have the thousands of dollars to pay for a court reporter and get a transcript. So a lot of them are representing themselves. So there's no reason why it can't be done. The cost is very minimal. And so that's what we're doing right now. We're working with a group of legislators, and we want this bill to go in this Florida legislature. And there's no reason. They record all the other courts. They should record family court.
Right, exactly, and I was going to talk to you a little bit about that as well. In the articles and the stuff that you sent me, you said that you were working in legislatively, right?
Yes.
And you said, and this is for, tell us a little bit about the legislation, because a lot of people say, you know, when we go to legislation, it's so hard to get anything moved. It's so hard to do anything. How are you accomplishing that?
Well, we have some really good legislators in Palm Beach County and in Broward County. So we're working. We have a senator, and we're working on getting a representative to sponsor this bill. And the only thing that they were telling us is that the legislature is going to look for how much it's going to cost. And it's probably not going to be very costly at all. But we also have to fight bad legislation. And the last couple of years, there's been some legislation put up by fathers' rights groups, and they got very nasty up in Tallahassee, these groups. They were really intimidating the women and everything. They want to pretty much end all alimony, and they also want to have the default, which some judges are doing now, that it automatically is 50-50 child sharing, even though the mother has been a stay-at-home mother, hasn't worked. When it's 50-50, she gets no child support at all. And we've seen the problems that can create. And for situations where there's been an abusive father, it's a way of getting control. That I'll keep this child from you, and I'll maybe turn the child against you also, because I have the means to provide them with nice cars and clothes and summer camps and stuff. And we've seen it happen a lot.
So we have
bad legislation, and we have to push for good legislation. And we help elect these legislators. And we've we expect them to be there for us, and they know that.
Mm-hmm. So how many protests do you usually do? I mean, do you do quite a few of them, or how does that work?
Well, obviously now it's a little bit difficult. You know, we can do spontaneously. You know, we usually like to do it outside the Delray Beach Courthouse. And, you know, the other thing is getting the media there is not easy. It used to be you could send a fax or a press release or something. And I think they're just comfortable sitting by their computer, truthfully, you know.
Right.
But I write a lot of letters to the editor and, you know, opinion pieces and stuff like that. We all do in our chapter. And I think that's important. And, you know, we do what we can do. But I really think that Zoom, like she was saying, is really great. Learned so much on webinars from other different groups. And for our court watches, sometimes there would be just a motion the first thing in the morning, like 8:30, and it's going to take like 10 minutes. And the mother's got to take off from work, get a babysitter, you know, maybe take buses to get there, and then it gets suspended or rescheduled. Whereas now, if it's on Zoom, it's like so much more convenient. And sometimes when we'd be sitting in the courtroom, we had a hard time hearing what was going on. The judge was speaking softly, and either the mother or the father was, they were trying to put across their case, and they were really nervous. So Zoom has been really, really effective. And if they can record it for Zoom, there's no reason why they can't record the tape either, you know, so that the...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just turn the switch on. That's it.
You know what, I do think that they need to get cameras in every single courtroom. What do you think about that?
They do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's another good legislation.
I think even more important is the sound, so that you have the words, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right. I agree with that. So for you to get in legislation, you need to know some senators, you need to know pretty much I'm getting your foot in the door that way, because I have a lot of people constantly contacting me and telling me, how do you get that done? And it's like, and I've told them the same thing. You've got to get some legislators on your side. You've got to tell them the problem. We've got Channel 7 News out here in Colorado working with some of our legislators. So that's how we're starting to bars. Channel 7 News, Jennifer Kowaleski, and their team has done an excellent job out here in Colorado, so we're working with them. And if you can't get your news team, talk to some legislators in each of your states to see if they can get the news media as well. That works just as well.
That's a good idea.
That's really a good idea because, you know, every time they call a news media, they're there. So if you can, and I actually had that happen to us a couple of times. We had Senator Laura Woods call for Channel 4 News or whatever news station that she had.
Uh-huh.
And she did very well with that. So that's another
thing
I wanted.
Now, in Florida, it's really scary with COVID. And people are, you know, we had our big event last Saturday, Women's Equality Day, celebrating women's vote. And the year before, we had 300 people at the Delray Beach Library. And this year we did it online. And we had about 50 participants, and we had a panel of elected women officials from Palm Beach County that we helped to get elected, a lot of them.
And
it's something missing, you know. And people are being very cautious now, and rightfully so. So it's going to be a while.
You know, so do they have the National Organization for Women in every state, do you know, or is it
pretty
just...
almost every state. If you go online to now.org, that's the main number, the main website, and you could probably look up and it'll tell you, which I know Denver does have a chapter.
That's sure good, because I would like to really get them on board with my mission as well, because we've got some really unethical courtrooms out here, and they're locking up our seniors as fast as I can put their names out there. It's so bad.
Yeah.
So that's another reason I wanted to talk to you about is now is the fact this started up the Families Against Port Travesties, is that relatively new? That's since 2003, right?
No, it's since 2003. And now there are other organizations, if you would Google, that do similar to what we do. And there are other NOW chapters that are involved in it also. They get called, you know, the same way. And we're doing more Zoom meetings, we're getting calls from all over. And we can do it. We have a case coming up in Maryland. Her story is so typical. Can I give you just the background of it? This is this is coming up in a couple weeks. This mother has twin boys who are 3 years old, and she's been accused of parental alienation. That's a phony term, yeah. And she says, I initially was awarded full physical and sole legal custody. However, when the visitation started, the children's father started to violate the consent order by taking the children out of state, returning children with unexplained injuries, and picking up the children from daycare early without advance notice. He filed for a modification of custody, requesting full physical and sole legal custody of my children and trying to give the mother supervised visits. Doesn't this sound familiar? Although I have no history of mental illness other than being the victim of domestic abuse, he is claiming that the mother is mentally ill and harming the children by coaching or brainwashing them about sexual abuse. In his modification of custody petition, he is stating he is concerned about the safety of the children when in the care of the mother. The mother may hurt the children in an attempt to frame the father for child abuse. The court appointed GAL, guardian ad litem, has been siding with the father since she was appointed. Many of them side with who's paying them. In the past, the GAL made up lies about the mom. The mother was talking negative things about dad in front of the children in an attempt to paint me as a crazy person. That's what the father said. In reality, none of the things the gal is claiming happened. The gal also terminated my children's therapist, to whom my children were telling about their father's abuse, and brought in her friend as a therapist. I am at risk of losing custody of my children, although I have been the sole caretaker of the children ever since they were born while their father was completely absent. So
wow.
That sounds
like guardianship abuse, what they do to
the
family.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. So it's basically the same thing, and the parental alienation is just like character assassination they do to the family members. You know, they're saying that we're out exploiting our family members, our mother, our dad. You know, we took care of them our whole life. They took care of us. It's not exploitation.
Mm-hmm.
It's called love. You know, there's a big difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, they call
another thing that you're doing.
Right.
That they're doing.
They call it our duty, and they call it exploitation. Okay, that's how they get away with stealing and embezzling from your family members.
Yeah.
You know,
they're taking children and taking them out of the household if the mother tells the court that there's been physical or sexual abuse against the child, and they put the child in foster care. They don't check to see if somebody in the family can take the children. One of the women who's an activist in our group, her daughter was in foster care. It took her 4 years to get her daughter out of foster care, and she has mental illness because of what she went through.
I tell you, it's very heartbreaking, and then you have to get on with your life, and it's really hard. You know, when my family was completely robbed of everything we had, it's taken our family years to feel like, you know, we're so full of anger. So I understand exactly what she's going through and what these go through. And so it is the same thing of how to get family members against each other or take away a loved one, and that keeps the argument and the fighting going to make more money for these people. That's mm-hmm. the bottom yep. line.
That's, you know, the bottom line.
That's the bottom line, and no matter what we say or do, it's wrong. It's freaking wrong that they have to use our loved ones like this, like collateral. You know, I'm going to go take your child away, and then I want you to come after me, and I'm going to give him to the bad parents or the good parents to keep it in court. That's what they do. I've seen stories yeah. over and over mm-hmm. and over again, you know.
Can I say something? Do you know why I have to be supervised? Because the judge said that because my niece and nephew and I don't see eye to eye, I need to be supervised. I'm the one that needs to be supervised, okay? Now, I just can't wrap my head around this one, but at least he did give me the right to see my mother. But
right.
I just, that's what they do. That's the sad part of the broken system.
Right. And that's, yeah.
You know,
Robin, are you around? Are you still with us?
I'm right here.
I know you probably hear this over and over again. You're probably wondering about this too, but it is exactly what we've been seeing here in Colorado is the same thing with family members, with the elders and the disabled, the same thing with the children. We obviously have a severely bruised system and an inadequate system for this all to be happening to all these people. You know, we all can't be making all this stuff up. You know?
Right. No, it is as was pointed out earlier. I always say justice requires transparency and accountability. You can't have people hiding what they do in these courtrooms. You know that the and that to the deception that is part of creating the narrative that comes into a court is something that is destructive to families. It's destructive to justice. It's destructive to the well-being of our whole society, our whole culture, because you're tearing families apart so that unscrupulous people can use those people as tools to extort money and get rich. And
that's money.
It really comes down to, you know, what is a person worth to the court? And, you know, these children can be worth a lot if they're a disabled child. If you can put them on some kind of disability and then get them on some drugs, well, then you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars coming in from the state for the care of that child, from drug companies for putting them on drugs. Same thing with elders. Same thing with anyone that they can get. This is the racket. This is what we're fighting against, and it's this unscrupulous activity that centers around how people can be monetized and turned into cash cows, how they can be monetized, how they can be turned into property that pays dividends. And long as the court sees a way to do that, they're more than happy to strip away family members and then milk those family members who are trying to take care of their loved ones. That's why you see them go, you know, that's why you have children that are placed with abusers at times, or taken away from good parents at times, because the court knows that not only will the abuser pay to the court oftentimes, but the decent person that's trying to look after their children is going to expend everything they've got trying to protect their children from being abused, and the court is more than happy to take that revenue stream of the everything they've got that they're willing to expend trying to protect their child. And, of course, the court, it's not in the court's best interest for the child to be protected, because that stops the money stream. As soon as the child is in a safe, secure, happy home, then there's no more need for court intervention. And at that point, the checks stop rolling in. And, you know, this is what we're up against, and it is what has made this system so unethical, and it is what we need to be battling against to put an end to this.
Right.
Yeah.
I have
a theory. It may seem bizarre.
Go ahead.
But I think, you know, I think there's too many lawyers, first of all, and they're competing for the dollar. And I believe a lot of lawyers used to be involved in real estate settlements, and now a lot of it can be done on the computer. They're not needed anymore. And I've heard them say that family law is where the money is, because people will borrow and spend whatever they can to help to try to protect their children and their parents. And it's really sad that it's really come to that, but it is money. Too many lawyers.
Yeah. It's all into the guardianship abuse, because the elders have made all their money that they need for their lifetime. They've been saving for 50, 60 years to put it away. These courts come in and literally steal it from them. I mean, they sell their 4 or 5 properties they wanted to give to their family members. They just come in and say how you exploited those family members. It's not true. Many of these cases, the family members have not done any of that. And that's why it's such an embezzling. It's families against court embezzlement, unethical standards. That's exactly what they're doing, you know. And I hate to say that, but in my opinion, that's what's going on. They learned how to embezzle through the court system. Our parents, from our parents, from our family members. And not only that, when they're done with your family members, they go after you for money, for the attorneys that you can't afford to pay. And it's nonstop, and now they're going after children, you know, because you're right. Family law, I mean, families, you know, who wouldn't give up to find their kids, to be with their children? I mean, it's horrible.
To protect them.
Yeah. They're protecting them.
And family dysfunction. And you know what? Everyone has it in every single family. They thrive on it. They get excited because they know that as a mother, you will fight for your child until your death. You will always fight for your children, and you will always fight for your family, whether it's against your husband, whether it's against your sibling, for an elder parent, and that's what they love. They love. Both sides, you know, both sides with guardianship and probate. In Florida, we've got maybe, I don't know, 2 Sharia attorneys that were maybe 80% that they're okay. And we've heard stories where attorneys fight for their clients, and then the opposing side says, hey, wait a minute, no need to do that. There's enough money here for both of us. So it is sick. And again, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It is the liars, as we call them, the lawyers that do this. And, man, you would say, how do they sleep at night? But this is their psyche. They have no compassion, and they're so warped mentally that they can substantiate every evil thing that they do to children and the elderly and disabled.
Yeah.
Not to mention that they also have very comfortable beds and can afford any kind of drugs that they want to use to put themselves to sleep.
Some people think that so much money.
That legal aid is available, and it really isn't. It's very limited. And getting an attorney to do something pro bono is very difficult. And I think people try to represent themselves, and the judges get, you know, they just overwhelm them with legal technicalities.
Definitely.
definitely. But then they say, you know, I have to judge you, even though you're going pro se, at the same standards as someone who went to law school for 6 years, you know, and it took them seven times to finally pass the bar exam. And it is such a rigged system against